Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you, Michelle. So my name is Caitlin Heitz, and I'm going to share with you the program that we ran for about 8 months last year that's called Opt for Health. That stands for Obesity Prevention Texts for Health. And we targeted children and families in Mississippi and Louisiana with our obesity prevention text messages. So the takeaways from my presentation for you guys today are that you will be able to describe a social marketing public health strategy that uses mHealth for obesity prevention for children and families. The second takeaway is that you will be able to demonstrate the components of an integrated, multifunctional technology for mHealth campaigns. So we used three different modalities that I'm going to talk about in a little bit that were all within the 160 character text. The third one is you're going to be able to formulate a strategy in your own communities to be able to replicate the same type of work that we did. So when we talk about childhood obesity prevention, the model that we like to think of in our work that we do is like a wheel with a hub in the middle and spokes coming off of it. So the hub of obesity prevention is really the place where children spend the majority of their time. So that's places like schools and early childhood centers. And then there's spokes coming off of that wheel, which are other community-based settings that can also have a really good impact, a really strong impact on these obesity prevention efforts. So places like after school, summer camp, faith-based sites, clinics, all of these places have people that have the ability to teach these children and families important messages about nutrition and health to reduce the rate of childhood obesity. And the wonderful thing is that mHealth kind of spans over all of these places. So everybody has a cell phone. Everyone in all of these settings can access these mHealth type of programs that we ran, including families, very key. That's who we focused on in this project. So the Opt for Health project was kind of like a mini project within this greater program that we have, or a greater grant-funded project that we have going on. Started in 2013. It's going to finish up its final year, its third year this year, and it's called Thriving Communities, Thriving Children. It's taking place in Mississippi and Louisiana, and the main thing to know is kind of like the meat of this project is that we use this curriculum that is called the Organ Wise Guys. It's an evidence-based curriculum that uses these fun organ characters to teach children about why they should choose healthy foods and how those foods have an impact on their health. So those characters are the central part of TC2, and we use those in our Opt for Health program as well. You're going to see kind of how we did that in a little bit, but this great specific curricula was given to all of the participating TC2 schools and Head Starts. So starting at around age 3 for children all the way up until 5th grade, so about 11 years old. So the Opt for Health project is taking place in these schools and in these Head Start centers that have this curriculum and have these organ characters. So we want to have really consistent messaging when we talk about our Opt for Health project. Also as part of TC2, there is a research component where we're collecting and measuring the children's BMIs to see, you know, the effect that this programming has on their actual health. So you can see here in the poster, those are the little organ characters that teach the children about health. So they were seeing them in the classrooms, and then they also saw them and heard them in the Opt for Health project. So there were three kind of main ways that we shared our health messages in the Opt for Health project. The main one is it was text messages. So there was an actual short blurb of text that had a healthy message for parents, and then there was a voice component. So it was one of the little characters. They could call into a local phone number and they could hear the characters speaking the message. The third one is that there was a video. So there was a shortened URL that they could then click on within the text message to see the characters engaging in the healthy activities, their little puppets. They're very cute, very kid friendly. We also were able to, when we signed people up, we had tracking data for each school. So the links were clickable, so we could track the links, and then we could also track how many people were calling in on the phone line as well. So it was really as easy as texting a word to a number, and that's all that the parents had to do. The way that we recruited the parents is we targeted about 15 schools and Head Start centers as part of the TC2 project with things like these colorful posters that went up in high traffic areas around the schools, so the parents would come pick their children up or drop them off and they'd see these posters, and we were hoping that the kids would already know who these characters were and would say, oh mom, look, like sign up for this, I want to get these messages from the Oregon Wise guys. So with the fun kind of engaging characters, we thought that we'd really be able to kind of pull parents in that way. So we had the posters in high traffic areas. We also sent out standardized texts to the administrators to include in their newsletters and their cafeteria breakfast and lunch menus. And then we also had a standardized kind of blurb of text that they could announce at like PTA meetings or other meetings with parents to engage the parents and encourage them to join our project. And here are some screenshots of the actual messages that went home to parents. So you'll see, like I said before, there's the text, there is the link to the video, and then there is the voicemail. So the results. Interestingly, these are kind of like the two main results, overarching results, that I'm going to talk about the specifics. We found that 40% of the families that we worked with had to pay for text messages. We are very surprised. We had just assumed that they would be included in the plans. So that was one of the things that was very interesting and unexpected to us. The second thing is that participants really kind of had a preference on certain things that they liked. We conducted focus groups, and we found that certain topics were more useful, like tips for drinking more water, some exercise reminders. They come in on Friday, remember to exercise on the weekends, and then little short recipes, all, you know, like less than 160 characters, very quick messaging. That's what they found really the most helpful. So in regards to specifically healthy eating, the first thing that we looked at, we found that a lot of the people did report changing their eating behaviors to become more healthy, like drinking water instead of a sugary beverage, having more vegetables on their salads. From these focus groups, we did find that the people actually were making changes in their health, in their eating behaviors, when they got these short little reminders every week. In regards to physical activity, we had people reporting that they would go on a walk after school, after they taught, instead of just, you know, heading home afterwards and relaxing, or reminders to get outside, to go breathe some fresh air, get some exercise. We did have also very good feedback that people did do more physical activity and get outside more when they saw the messages. So some of the challenges that we found were that people, even if they did have free text messaging, which the majority of the participants did have free text messaging, they still kind of like assumed that it was going to cost them money. So we had to reiterate over and over again that if they had a free plan, it was a free program and it didn't cost anything to join. We also found that the video link was a bit problematic because of data usage on your cell phone. People did not, or they were very hesitant, especially when it's a shortened link and they don't know where it's going. They didn't want to click on the link because they didn't want to use up too much of their data. And the quote in the blue box just describes that. It's one of the administrators at one of the sites, kind of sums up why that was a problem. One of the other challenges that we found is that recruitment was lower than what we thought. I'm going to talk about in a little bit why we thought that was so. And then we also found that in the area of the Mississippi cities in New Orleans where we worked, we found that a lot of people had like smaller cell phone carriers, and they actually block these mass kind of bulk text messaging programs, which we were unaware of, and we would kind of sit there with people and see them sign up, and then nothing would happen. So we were able to find out that if you have a smaller kind of local cell phone carrier, that you might not be able to participate in these types of text messaging mHealth projects. With that being said, although we did have a few challenges, everyone who participated really enjoyed it and found it to be very helpful and a lot of fun for both them and their children as well. Some of the lessons that we learned. Main thing, we learned that the text messages, the actual text part, was by far the most valuable. Much more than the voice and much more than the links, because people would actually have to take an additional action for those two things. They'd have to call or they'd have to click on something. The text is right there, super easy, very short. They can see it and then they can just act upon it. We also found that the actual mHealth texts could be improved upon if we were to go into a social media platform like a Facebook or an Instagram or a Twitter. The reason for this being is that the population that we worked with, they might lose their phones quite often or upgrade to a new phone or just change phones. And once that happens, the mHealth messages are lost because they don't have that phone anymore. Having something like a social media platform, like a Facebook or an Instagram, that's always there. You can scroll down once you follow the account and see all of the history, so you don't have to worry about losing the actual vehicle of the cell phone to not be able to see the messages. They're always there. Another issue with another reason why Facebook and Instagram are so good is because people without data plans can just hop on Wi-Fi and check out the accounts and get the messaging that way. And then I mentioned in the previous slide that participation was lower than we expected. We learned that incentives are key for this type of programming. Offering, you know, saying on the poster, saying something like, hey, you'll get a coupon, or you'll be entered to win a gift card to Publix or like a healthy supermarket or something like that. That would have really helped, but unfortunately the funder did not allow for any sort of incentives in this grant, so we were unable to do that. And then the quote you see at the bottom just kind of explains that need for an incentive in order to get people to join. Very important. You know, we learned for future projects to have some sort of incentive available for the individuals to encourage them to participate. So overall, that kind of sums up the Opt for Health project that ran in Mississippi and Louisiana for about 8.5-9 months. If you have any more questions, you can contact Dr. Danielle Holler. She's the president of Healthy Networks Design and Research that received the grant to conduct this this program. Or if you have any questions for me, you can ask me at the end. We just love to help children, love to help families. And if you guys have any projects that you're thinking of and you want to brainstorm, you know, we have all the information from this project, so I have cards. You can just come talk to me at the end. Thank you.